We got a double doink in London. Welcome to the Locked On Vikings podcast, the podcast covering your probably pretty fraudulent 3-1 Minnesota Vikings. We'll get into all of it.
You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome, 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 everybody, to another episode of the Locked On Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. If I sound a little different, look a lot different, it's because I'm in London right now. I went to the game at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in London and watched the Vikings beat the Saints, final score of 28-25. Extremely weird 28. We got 5 field goals and a missed extra point in there, so make what you will of that, and we're going to break it all down. You can find me on Twitter at LukeBronNFL. You can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. And today's episode of Locked On Vikings is presented to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Just pick 2 to 5 of your favorite players, pick whether they'll get more or less than their Prize Picks projection, and if you're right about all that, you can win up to 10 times your money. And right now, if you go to prizepicks.com and enter promo code Locked On, you can get a 100% match up to $100. It means if you put up $100, you get $100 matched by Prize Picks. Put in 50, get 50, etc. Once again, that's prizepicks.com. You can get the app, just search out Prize Picks on the Google Play or App Store. So welcome to the London hotel version. If it sounds a little weird, if you hear a fan in the background, it's because it's unseasonably warm here in this room. So bear with me as formats and things are a little off. But let's talk about that London game. Holy Moses, that was way more stressful than it needed to be. And I kind of alluded to it, but boy, these Vikings are not as good as you would think for a 3-1 team. However, there's a lot of reason. It's like a lot of reason for optimism and a lot of reason for frustration, because there is a lot of meat on the bone. And throughout this whole year, there have been a ton of missed opportunities that could have made these games even more, like they could have beat the Packers by 30 if they had made all their opportunities, right? They could have gotten back into that Philly game. And in this one, they could have run away with it. But those missed opportunities are all like equally as frustrating as they are like, ooh, wow, look how much better this team could be. But they're not, and that sucks. That said, win's a win, right? So for all of this, I'm probably going to have more negative to say than positive, just because of what I happen to notice, like in the stands and live. And this is a fairly immediate reaction, so I'll walk back other stuff if I see it on the tape. But for that, the Vikings are just missing too many opportunities for me to like truly believe in them. Now they're playing the Bears next week, so I'm going to pick them in that one, but in the long term, they need to fix some things if they want to keep this momentum up. And if they can get those things fixed, having 3 wins in your back pocket from earlier in the season sure is going to feel good. So if you missed this game because it happened too early for you, maybe you went out Saturday night, imbibed a bit, I wouldn't blame you. And then maybe you slept in, you missed the game. I'll give you a recap for you. A quick recap. So the Vikings go down, opening drive is gorgeous. 7-0, touchdown to, I believe, KJ Osborne. And then after getting a stop, driving down to possibly make it 14-0, Kirk Cousins throws like a double clutched pick. I got to look at it to see why he double clutched that, because it looked like it was a very open receiver and he second guessed. And then he actually threw it. And by then, Tyrann Mathieu was in the throwing lane, ready to pick that off. That's what it looked like to me live, but I did not get a great second look at it. So I'm wondering what he saw that made him like double clutch. You know what I mean? Anyways, that was an interception. The Saints go down and score and tie it up. So this, you like spotted them 7 points off that turnover, right? You can never have those kinds of turnovers. And the game kind of went from there. You know, the Vikings had an opportunity to get down to the red zone, score, and they come up short, kick a field goal. They get a fumble at the end of the second half that puts them at point blank range, fail to score, field goal. And in that second drive, there was definitely a KJ Osborne open in the end zone on first down, wide streaking open. You'll probably see, apparently the broadcast didn't highlight it, but you'll see when people start posting tape, it's a really, really bad I don't know why Kirk Cousins checked it down. That might have been the one that Johnny Munt dropped, which all the talk about him and Herb Smith is really funny because now he has just as many drops, and I think his are kind of worse. But anyways, yeah, that really, really frustrating, right? And then there was one on third down. It looked like maybe somebody could have been an option, but I'm not 100% sure. Either way, really anemic stuff, and that kind of kept happening. Again, 5 field goals in the game. That is a very strange place to be. And the Vikings can't afford to be like that. You can't be, you know, up 16-7 in that game. They went down, drove down again, I believe off of a punt fumble. I could not catch who forced it, but I believe off of a punt fumble, a muffed punt return, the Vikings then get another opportunity to get right down into the red zone. But again, they stall out at the very end. And I believe the broadcast highlighted one with Justin Jefferson running wide open in the back of the end zone, but Cousins checked it down to Adam Thielen. It was like a misread on a sale concept is what I believe happened. But again, I got to check on all of that stuff. So put a pin in it all. But on the like live watch, it looked to me like Kirk Cousins hesitated, threw a pick, and got more hesitant. And he played the game really, really scared. Just really. And it's not even like I'm asking him to make chances. These were guys wide open on corner routes in the end zone with guys underneath. Like they were sale concepts. And the read on a sale concept is, look at the corner. If he gets depth, throw short. If he comes up, throw deep. And the guy came up and he threw short. That's just straight up misreading. That's not even like a conversation about like conservatism or whatever. I got to look at it all, but that put the Vikings up. Eventually they go up 16-7. The Saints finally get one, to go to 16-14. And that began a fourth quarter of a lot of field goals. It was a very crazy end of the game, fourth quarter kind of situation with the Saints eventually going up 22-19. So the Vikings get one 19-14. They get another field goal on another failed red zone. I think they went 2 of 5 in the red zone. They got 2 touchdowns, the KJ Osborne one, and then a Justin Jefferson jet sweep that had everybody fooled. And Jefferson walks in. Fantastic goal line design there. But those were the 2 touchdowns and then 3 red zone field goals. And it almost kind of cost them the game because then the Saints came down running behind Taysom Hill, who just always kills the Vikings. I don't know what the deal is with that. But running behind Taysom Hill, they go down and score. And then a coverage bust on the 2-point conversion means it's 22-19. And the Vikings got 3 more field goals in the fourth quarter to make it 22 to eventually 25, including a 47-yarder at the very end. Or no, I'm sorry, a touchdown and a field goal. But the touchdown missed the extra point. So Greg Joseph, 5 for 5 of field goals, including the ultimate game winner, but misses an extra point. I'll take that. You know, make the hard stuff. The easy extra points are only worth 1. I would much rather you make field goals that are worth more, right? Even though it's more frustrating about the extra point because the expectation is higher. I'll take the more valuable make. And then Will Lutz drills a 60-yarder to tie it up at 25-25. Then the 47-yard game winner on the other way. And then 24 seconds to go, the Vikings actually give the Saints a chance to kick a 62-yarder. 62 yards is a big ask, but Will Lutz had all the leg on that thing and it double doinks. That was a very, very, very close tie game going to overtime situation and the defense was getting punked. I will talk a little more about that. But first, if you go back to my You Betcha segment, I had a couple things that if you had gone to Prize Picks, you would have had a pretty good time if you took, say, some Justin Jefferson overs, because his over under had gone way way down. If you had taken some of that, or if you go to Prize Picks and go play against their Prize Picks projection. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. It's a more than or less than kind of game. So you could have had their projection for Justin Jefferson's receptions or yards or whatever, or Adam Thielen's. He definitely hit his more than. So you can go do all of that stuff at prizepicks.com, and they've got more than just football. They got all kinds of sports and stuff. So go to prizepicks.com or download the Prize Picks app, and you can get a 100% deposit match up to $100 if you use promo code Locked On. That means $100 free play money. This is just, you're just giving it to you. If you put in $100 and use promo code Locked On at prizepicks.com, or you can download the app. let's continue talking to this, talking about this game. Thank you so much for making Locked On Vikings your first listen of the day. This was a very bad defensive day. And it doesn't feel that bad because, again, 25 points. Like, if you look at just the point totals, they give up 7 the first game. It's pretty good. And then they give up 24. It's not catastrophic. 25, not like, none of these are feel like that bad of games, and their points per game is probably pretty good. But, my God, are they bad at letting these guys out of situations? And it's really interesting. And maybe I'm overreacting to it because it's just what I remember live. But the Vikings let the Saints out of a lot of behind the chain situations, and they just leave so many completions out there that are so easy to find. It doesn't matter if it's Andy Dalton or Aaron Rodgers out there, or I don't know. I'm watching an Aaron Rodgers game as I record this where he's not playing very well, but I don't know, Andy Dalton or Josh Allen out there, right? Like, it doesn't matter who it is. It's just easy. It's pitch and catch when you're messing up the zone this bad. And I'm starting to sort of soften on, no pun intended, on the softness angle, on the, like, they're just playing too soft. I think Cameron Dantzler does, and he had a very up and down day. But, you know, kind of always does. He's just good for playing too soft sometimes, play a little bit off, and then when it is a go ball, he's, like, really, really clamps, and that's really cool. But outside of him, I actually don't necessarily think it's about, like, backing too far off. It's just about messing up timings and spacings. If they can space and time this the way it's designed, and if everybody just knows what they're supposed to do, like, it feels like that shouldn't be too much to ask, you know? Like, if they just knew where they were supposed to go and who they were supposed to cover, if all I wanted, and, you know, forget if you're right, if you're fast enough, if you make the play on the ball or any of that, if all I could get for Christmas is that the Vikings defenders knew who they were supposed to cover at all times, this defense would explode. Like, this defense would be so much better. But they screw that up. A whole bunch of Jordan Hicks widening out too much, and now suddenly something can wrap out around behind him. And, like, how to play that can get really hard, but these subtle mistakes lead to big throwing windows. And as long as you don't have a potato down back there at quarterback, which even third-string quarterbacks aren't potatoes, you can find that. As long as you don't have somebody that's, like, genuinely super so inaccurate that it doesn't matter how you cover it. Really rough stuff from the defense. And the other thing is the front four gave them a lot of time. And again, this was another game where you just didn't blitz at all. Andy Dalton is, like, famously susceptible to blitzes. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's one or the other, but I'm pretty sure he's either famously susceptible or famously good against blitzes, but I'm pretty sure it's famously susceptible and they just didn't do it. And I understand the concept of identity, but you have to adapt to your surroundings a little bit. That bugs me. I really wanted to see a little bit more blitzing from this defense. And I do think that it's because they have to be in that zone because they don't quite have the man-to-man stuff down yet. And there's a little bit of gelling that needs to happen before you can really get into the cool exotic pressures and the real Fangio stuff that made the Fangio defense super famous. And I even said before the season that we probably wouldn't see that. But, man, I thought we'd see a little more than this. This is a super vanilla back it off. And really, they just need to get their coverage adjustments down. When two guys have to switch jobs because the route concept requires that, hey, and now I have to take inside and you have to take outside, and that's switched, and we have to call that and we have to communicate that on the fly, that's the seam at which, you know, the hole in the armor at which the Vikings fall apart. And if that can just happen a little bit less every game, and I do think we've seen it a little bit less every game, it's still enough for me to say this is a huge problem and it's causing the defense to fall apart a whole bunch, but it has been a little less every game. And that's what I want to see. A little less every game. You know, going into this season, I kind of figured transition year, this isn't a playoff push. Get to 3-1. We can start having different conversations there. But for me, I just wanted to see things start to, I want to see how it's supposed to work, become a little bit more clear every week. And if it's going to be some growing pains in the meantime, I kind of understood and was willing to be patient about that. Still got to point it out, but it's not, I'm not going to say, you know, I'm not saying, hey, fire Ed Donatell, right? There's people are talking about that. No, don't fire the defensive court. He's getting his things. Everything's getting put together, right? He's just getting things put together. I'm not going to say fire him over that. So I guess it leads us to, like, the final question, which is the hardest one. Are the Vikings good? I don't, are the Vikings good? I can't answer. And I went on a radio show. I went on a New Orleans radio show this week leading up to the game. And they asked me, like, how good are the Vikings? And I was like, I can't tell you. And that's kind of the principle, like the core principle of the Vikings. You never get to know if they're good or not. Even if they start out 6-0, they could still maybe collapse and lose the season on Nate Poole, right? Or they could start out 5-0 and then Norv Turner punches Mike Zimmer's eye out, allegedly. and you know, everything falls apart. So even when they're good, you don't get to know if they're good or not. Or they start 1-5 in 2020 and then they lost three games the rest of that whole year. Like, you just never get to know if they're good or not, right? And they are truly no more a mystery. They've never been more a mystery than they are right now, because you watch that game and it just didn't feel like the Vikings deserved to win, but they did. And if I had to say, did the Saints deserve to win? Like, no, ton of flags. They didn't show a lot of replays in the stadium. I guess a lot of those flags were like super sketchy. I'll have to go look at it. I saw the one, the hands to the face, which was a real, we'll go with ticky-tack call, but maybe the Vikings got away with a couple there. I didn't see. So I'll keep my opinion to myself on that. But either way, those penalties and then some of the mistakes that the Saints made and just an overall kind of lack of juice, the fumble at the end of the half, they win by a field goal and that leads to a field goal, right? And when you come to these games, and this is what I'll kind of answer next, is like, how do you determine after a game like this if the Vikings are good? And when it comes to these games like this, you can sort of confirm anything, but we'll get to that first. Let me talk to you about Built Bar. Built Bar is a delicious offering from Built, the company that does all kinds of cool stuff. But Built Bar, of course, is the best. They are their best thing. My favorite thing of theirs is their coconut, or their puffs, their marshmallow kinds. Coconut brownie chunk puff is like godly. Right now, their latest abomination is cookie dough chunk puff. It's cookie dough chunks, marshmallowy goodness, all covered in 100% chocolate. How many calories do you think that is? Vote now on your phones. Nope, 160. You were wrong. And 15 grams of protein in one of those bad boys. It is awesome. So go to built.com, use promo code LOCKEDON15, LOCKEDON15, which is a different promo code than it's been for a while. So make sure you're not just inputting the same thing, and you can get 15% off of your order. That's promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON15 at built.com. So let's move on. The Vikings are maybe good, maybe not. Are they frauds? I mean, they're 3-1, and 3-1 is still too early. Where, I mean, you know, the Giants are 3-1 too, right? Like, the Cowboys are 3-1, and nobody in the Cowboys has any confidence in the Cowboys. I think the Seahawks might be 3-1. Like, it's a pretty wild time. Oh no, they're 2-2. I don't know. This is what you get from the hotel room. I don't edit anything, so we get to just see my live stream of consciousness. But anyways, the Vikings are weird. Always, right? But they're, whether or not you think that they are good, you can confirm it using this game. And that's kind of what I want to drive home here. When you have a close game, and I say this after every close game, win or lose, when you have a close game, you can basically pick any moment out of it and make that the moment of the day, right? You can make, I'm sure, what people will talk about. And I was actually kind of curious for the back half of this game, for reasons that are uninteresting, I had no access to my phone. And so I couldn't see what people were talking about, how people were reacting to things. I couldn't look at, like, was that penalty good and stuff. I couldn't look at Lewis Cine's injury, really. I couldn't really tell what that was until I got home and I looked, and it was really gnarly. Let's just pause and talk about that real quick. Lewis Cine, lower leg fracture, really gnarly injury, gets tangled up weird, jamming a punt, and he'll be almost certainly out for the season. Probably going to be difficult for him to even come back next season with an injury like that. Unless, now don't quote me on this, but unless it was a perfect, like, clean break, sometimes that can be better when it's like a clean fracture in the bone. Those can actually heal a little bit better than something partial, where then there's twisting and there's more awkward motion on it. Sometimes a clean break can actually be preferable in some context. Sometimes, no idea if that applies here, but something to think about. We wish all the best for Lewis Cine, and we do have to kind of take a moment and say, what are our expectations now? Because our expectations for Lewis Cine were that he was supposed to come in and be safety two, next to Harrison Smith, and he didn't do that. And maybe he just wasn't ready yet. The coaches have gassed him up a lot. The coaches have been very pleased with him, publicly at least. But he hasn't played, and he didn't even play when Harrison Smith got a concussion. It was Josh Metellus, right? And so that's a disappointment. What I don't want to start hearing is, well, Lewis Cine didn't play his whole rookie year. Well, he got injured week four, you know, like don't bad faith like that, right? So here's what I think. Too early to tell with Lewis Cine. I probably would have started having more concrete takes by like Halloween. Give me, you know, four more games. Give me week eight, week nine, something like that. Then if he's still not playing and it's still Josh Metellus in those situations, then I get a little more worried. But we didn't make it there, and now he broke his leg in half. So let's just take every Lewis Cine opinion we have, put it in a little box, and then not touch it till he plays again. I'm not going to have too much of an opinion on Lewis Cine until I actually see him from scrimmage. He's not going to never play from scrimmage unless that injury was so bad he never plays again or something like that. And he did have to get like air casted and lifted to the hospital. He had surgery right there on the day in a London hospital. So that's where we kind of have to be with the Lewis Cine injury. But that tangent aside, if you wanted to, you could make this about how the Vikings almost gave this game up because the Lewis Cine injury and like the next drive, like that punt return, it was a pretty good Rager punt return. And then that drive, Cousins throws that interception, Saints tied up, and the whole tenor of the game changes. And you could say, man, they're so susceptible to these moments, right? I could make the game about that. If I wanted to, I could make the game about that rainbow Kirk Cousins threw at the end of the game. Game-winning drive, what turned out to be the game-winning drive. Cousins throws just one of the prettiest passes I've ever seen. Down the sideline, go ball. Justin Jefferson has a step on Marshawn Lattimore, which, by the way, I don't know how much the broadcast showed you all. Justin Jefferson kicked the crap out of Marshawn Lattimore. He couldn't hang. When it was one-on-one, he couldn't hang. And you'll see that there was safety help over the top sometimes, but I think the Saints got the wrong idea from the Lions game. The Lions used a lot of safety help to help their corners, and it took Justin Jefferson out of the game. The Saints looked at that and read, if we have a good enough corner, we can cover this guy. And so they just put Lattimore on him, and I just don't think that that's how you cover Justin Jefferson. I just don't think you can do that one-on-one. He's just too good, honestly. And I think we saw that because when he did get let up one-on-one, that's when he started making big plays. There was that one over route that I think a defender fell down. So that doesn't reflect as much on Jefferson, but a couple near the end of the half, a couple that were really just good routes, and it was Marshawn Lattimore. I mean, that's an all pro. That's a great corner, and absolutely no shade to Marshawn Lattimore. This is just what Justin Jefferson does. So I could make it about that, right? He beats him on a go route, or I could make it about the throw that Kirk had. Or I could make it about the throws that Kirk didn't make. And I can say, well, they should have won by so much more. And that's my headline for the game, right? I could make it about how we're just lucky because Will Lutz missed a 62-yarder. I could make it about how Greg Joseph carried us through this one. I could make it about how maybe we're not in that situation at all if Greg Joseph doesn't miss that extra point. And all of that would have some merit. Any part of that would have some merit. I could say that the Vikings won because that umbrella, really deep cover defense stopped the Saints from being able to make any big plays. And so when they had to score, they had to take too long to do it. And that, you know, turned the clock just enough in our favor so that that final possession, the Saints had 24 seconds. It just wasn't quite enough to set up a realistic field goal attempt. 62 is a lot. And yeah, he did almost make it, but that would have been incredible, right? And that would have been a really low probability outcome. I can make it about that. So if I want to prove that the Vikings are good, I can say, yeah, look, we've got this clutch quarterback that made this great play with, you know, back against the wall. We have, you know, this running game, the running game wasn't good and it definitely lost, but I think that was more the Saints being good at run defense and the Vikings being bad at run offense. Live look, but their linebackers were making great plays, playing really aggressive, shooting the gaps a lot. And then they got killed on play action a lot. So I think that was the Saints really playing into it, and they kind of got what they paid for, but they paid a lot for it. And, you know, you've had a lot of, I'm sure the stat line looks great for Kirk Cousins at the end of the day. And it could be about, hey, they won this game because Adam Thielen had a good day and was able to, you know, have a huge impact when Justin Jefferson was being taken away. Or I can say that they won because Justin Jefferson wasn't taken away enough. I can say all of these things, and all of them will be to some degree correct, as long as I'm not saying something blatantly false. I can kind of say the Vikings won or the Vikings almost lost because of whatever I want. And so don't try to make this a way to say, well, the Vikings barely beat the Saints, and therefore that proves me right about whatever point, right? You have to take it all in. You have to look at all of it. And look at every little facet, decide how you feel about every little facet, and then decide, okay, where do you want to go from there? Do you want to say, this is a suggestion I would make to the Vikings, this is what needs to happen, this is, then you can kind of go from there. But for me, I like to think, what would I suggest to the Vikings? Were they listening to me, right? I think that's a good way to think about it, because it helps you think, stay in the world of actionable things. And for me, clean up those zone pass offs, clean up that spacing, just continue to work on that, get a little better every week. It's going to come around, I think. And then on the offensive side of the ball, we got to have a conversation about Kirk Cousins, man. This is too many games where he has a moment and then turtles. And we have to have a conversation about if that is fixable, and wasn't Kevin O'Connell kind of supposed to, am I even right about that first? Right. Let me go look and see if I'm actually right about that. Although I will say, I don't know how much film I'm going to be able to do in Europe, but I'll at least circle back to this one later in the season, or maybe on the bye week or something. But if that's going to be what I'm doing here, and assuming that I didn't just like see the play wrong, which is super possible, but assuming not, then we got to figure out how we can stop Kirk Cousins from getting to that turtle mode the second something goes wrong, to suddenly start playing hyper-conservative. That's what I don't like about it. I should probably mention there was a lot of pressure too. Part of the reason I'm not talking about it is because I had a really hard time seeing who was responsible. So I don't know who was. Just a tough thing for me to see live. So circle back to that. So ask me about it on Twitter Tuesday. But obviously that had something to do with it too. They were blitzing the crap out of Kirk Cousins. And teams are going to blitz the crap out of Kirk Cousins until it stops working. You got to beat the blitz someday, or they're just going to keep blitzing you, because there's not a limit on how many times you can blitz in a game. You got to start punishing it. Play action, seven step drop, deep shot does not punish the blitz. It plays right into it, right? So you can't do that. There's a lot more to talk about here, but I guess I'll leave you with this. Try to resist the urge to just confirm whatever you think on this game, right? If you want to go and say, man, see, we almost lost this game because of Kirk Cousins's conservatism, you kind of also have to say, but we also won the game because he made a really clutch throw. Like, you kind of have to see both things and try not to average it out into then he had a medium game or like whatever, but just say he was really conservative and then he made a really clutch throw and they won the game and that was it. There's your package. Make of it what you will. But you have to kind of include all of those things in the package and not try to mix them in too much. Like I mentioned, tomorrow is Twitter Tuesday. Might try to do it live just because I have to be live anyways. I can't edit. So maybe I'll go live on YouTube if I can figure it out from here, from the hotel. Otherwise, get your questions in at Luke Brown NFL, at Locked On Vikings on Twitter. There's a Google form usually in the show notes, and you can send an email to lockedonvikingspodcast@gmail.com. I'll see it wherever, even leave a YouTube comment. Thank you all so much for making Locked On Vikings your first listen of the day. I'll see y'all tomorrow. And as always, Skol.